Once again he delivered a smile of utter salaciousness. It would be exceedingly difficult to reset the mutational clock to zero without triggering all sorts of secondary anti-tamper safeguards, even for a mixmaster. I could do it, but it would be far from trivial work. But the opposite procedure would be considerably simpler. The opposite procedure. I leaned forward, feeling that some kind of fundamental revelation was almost within my grasp. It wasn't a feeling I much enjoyed. Setting the clock forward so that the new genes are switched off. He said that, and then allowed himself a moment's contemplative silence, spinning the projected eyeball with the tip of one finger, a singularly macabre globe. It would be simpler because there would be no safeguards. It would never occur to the Ultras to protect against that kind of tampering, because it would only harm the client, which is not to say it would be easy. It would, however, be an order of magnitude easier than setting the clock back. It could be attempted by any bloodcutter who understood the problem. Go on. His voice took on a gravitas it had lacked a moment earlier, as if he had triggered his own mutational change to deepen the response of his larynx. For some reason, someone set your clock forward, Tanner. Zebra looked at me. You mean Tanner's changes are fading? She asked. I realized that she still had no idea what form these changes took. That was probably the intention, the mixmaster said. Whoever did it was not entirely lacking in competence. Once the clock had been wound, the cells in your eye would have begun manufacturing normal human proteins, cell division following the normal blueprint. He sighed. But whoever did it was either sloppy or hasty or both. They reset only a fraction of the clocks, and then imperfectly. There's a small war going on in your eye between different components of the ultra-genetics machinery. Whoever tried to reset the clock thought they were turning the machine off, but all they really did was throw a spanner in its works. A note of sorrow entered his voice. Such haste. Such dreadful haste. Of course, whoever it was, more than deserved to fail. The question is why they thought it was worth doing in the first place. His eyes opened in expectation, and I realized he thought I was going to give him an answer. But I saw no sense in giving him that pleasure, much as I would have liked to. Instead, I said, I want a scan, a full-body scan. You can do that, can't you? It depends what you want it for, the kind of resolution you want me to achieve. Nothing too fine. I just want you to look for something. Tissue damage. Internal. Wounds which may or may not have healed. I can but try, the man said, gesturing to the couch, a skate-like scanning device already gliding down from the ceiling. It did not take very long. In all honesty, I would have been surprised if the Mixmaster scan had revealed anything other than what I was dreading and expecting. It was just a question of seeing it revealed in the cold indices of a readout. Just a question of finally burying any residual traces of denial. And, for that matter, hope, which might have remained. The skate imaged my body core, learning my inner secrets via a manifold of sensory techniques. The machine was really just a highly modified form of trawl, adjusted to cope with the cellular and genetic structure of the whole body, rather than the specialized flavors of neural tissue alone. Given time, it could resolve matter down to the atomic level, right to the border of quantum fuzziness, but there was no need for such precision now, and the scan was commensurately rapid. And what it showed chilled me to the core. Something which should have been there was missing.